In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You have probably all seen this poster somewhere. What is needed? Our act of dedication and this morning vividly illustrated that the church is people and that the church needs people. You are what is needed, in other words. And it needs people if it is to be and to do those things for which it exists. So what is the church? And what on earth is it for? Let's have a look this morning at a few familiar definitions and descriptions. First, the church is a flock, a familiar biblical idea. The sheep and the shepherd. The sheep need to be fed, but they are not left to find food as best they can somewhere. Jesus said to Peter in John 21:17, "Feed my sheep." The church has been given this commission, and the church feeds the sheep with the sacraments and with teaching built up over the centuries by the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And the flock, what do they do? Well, they breed. They produce new lambs. And the church always needs new additions to its flock. There is that famous saying, the church is always just one generation away from extinction. We welcome, we nurture the lambs that arrive amongst us. The sheep also, of course, produce wool, which the farmer sells so that he can feed his family and pay his bills. In that connection, I recommend to you this morning Hector's very clear article about church finance, which you'll find in the new magazine this month. And lastly, something we tend not to mention when we preach about sheep is that the sheep go to market and end up in the butcher's shop. The church is called to be Christ-like in dying to self, in letting go of the prejudices and ingrained habits, to move out of its comfort zone for the sake of others. So much for the church as a flock. It can take us so far, but it is not the whole picture. Another word we use to describe the church is family. It is not, strictly speaking, a biblical concept. For Jesus was rather ambivalent about family ties. Think, for instance, of what he says in Mark chapter 10, verse 29, about leaving house or brothers or sisters or father and mother for the sake of the gospel. And we are meant to see the group gathered around the table at the Last Supper as a new family that is held together by Jesus at the center, rather than by being biologically related. That is the sort of family we are called to be. And it is the fact that we gather in the Lord's house, around his table and in his presence, that constitutes us as the family. And what a funny mixed lot this family is. We are not like a group of friends with the same likes and dislikes, all from similar backgrounds. We are not like that. Families contain old and young, rich and poor members, some we see every day, some we hardly see at all. Another big difference is that you choose your friends, but you do not choose your family. If I can paraphrase John 15, verse 16, we did not choose each other, Jesus chose us. And we are therefore to love one another in spite of our differences. In fact, our differences are necessary to our well-being. If everyone wanted to preach and no one wanted to help with the book sale, if we had lots of people to help with Sunday school but no one to keep us focused on the poor and hungry in the world, looking after the poor and the orphans, as it says in that epistle to James, of James that we heard this morning, if no one did that for us, then what? And mention of differences brings me to the key phrase which describes the church. We are the body of Christ, which you'll find in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 27, and elsewhere. It is Paul's answer to those who judge their fellow Christians and try to create divisions in the church. Our act of dedication this morning made it clear for all to see just how many people are involved in the life of the church and what a wide variety of tasks they do. I heard recently about someone who had lost a toe, such a small part of the body. But losing it was catastrophic, upsetting the balance of the whole body, making it difficult for that person to walk, to make progress. So it is with the body of Christ. Some people don't do what we do, aren't interested. Perhaps we think what they do is not very spiritual. But who sweeps a room as for thy laws, George Herbert wrote. It is all necessary for the health of the body. If any part of our bodies are starved of proteins, water, vitamins, or oxygen, they simply will not work properly. If any part of our bodies do not do what they're supposed to do, see, move, pump blood, digest food, then the whole body suffers. So it is with the body of Christ. We must all receive, but we must also all give of our very selves. And as it says in the letter of James, chapter 1, verse 17, every generous act of giving is from God above. Every generous act of giving is how we are more Christ-like. It is how we show that we are the church, the body of Christ. and so to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be thanks, praise, and glory, now and forever. Amen.